When Venus, the goddess of beauty and love, arose from the froth that swam on the sea, Minerva sprang out of the cranium of Jove, a coy sullen dame, as most mortals agree. Ah, but Bacchus, they tell us that Prince of Goodfellas was Jupiter's son. Pray attend to me tale. They who thus chatter mistake quite the matter. He sprang from a barrel of Newman's ale.
Newman's ale, boys, Newman's ale. He sprang from a barrel of Newman's ale. Newman's ale, boys, Newman's ale. No liquor on earth like Newman's ale.
No liquor on earth like Newman's Ale. We'll talk about that in just a second. On Saturday, April 16th, that's this Saturday from 4 to 7, the Albany Institute of History and Art will host the 5th annual Hudson Valley Hops. Guests can sample the finest local craft beers, talk with brewery experts, enjoy tasty food, and take home a commemorative glass. There will also be a special exhibition with artifacts from the Albany Institute's collection that tell the history of brewing in Albany and the Capital Region. Historic photographs, advertisements, and packaging from local breweries will be on view for the event as well. This year's Hudson Valley Hops event will feature the return of one of the region's original microbrewery beers, first produced in 1981, and one that is widely credited to have led off the phenomenal craft brewing industry on America's East Coast. That's the William S. Newman Brewing Company's British-style Newman's Pale Ale. A 35th anniversary batch of Newman's Pale Ale will be brewed exclusively for the event in a one-time collaboration with the Davidson Brothers Brew Pub in Glens Falls. Tamis Croft is Executive Director of the Albany Institute of History and Art. She joins us this morning. How are you?
Very good. Good morning, Joe.
You know, I'm so glad you're here. Are you able to get back to work because of all of the traffic delays with all the candidates coming in?
Well, I got to work at 8 o'clock this morning, and they were already lining up at the Armory, which is right up the block from the Albany
Sanders
Institute,
event.
The Bernie Sanders event. And by the time I got in my car, actually, and drove here, the line was all the way around on Elk Street. It's pretty extraordinary. Now, when I go back, I will definitely park someplace else other than the Albany Institute.
You just take a bus from here, and we can pick you up later if you want. But that's great.
Yeah.
Bill Newman is here as well, the founder of the William S. Newman Brewing Company, a big part of this event. And Bill, it's always great to have you. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joe. And I just want to let everybody know we have for our coffee break this morning.
Yes.
We have a coffee stout from a little brewery up in the hills of Washington County. And then we also have for another little farm brewery down in Nassau, we have some Lame Llama IPA.
Lame Llama IPA.
Correct.
All right, we'll talk about this wonderful, both of these breweries in just a second, and shout out to R.S. Taylor and Sons and Hebron. They're very nice folks, I'm sure the Nassau folks are too. I just never met them. Tamis, this event has been going on for a long time. How did it come about, and why does it fit in so well with the mission of the museum?
Well, the first, we've been doing five of these Hudson Valley hops, and it really started out with the idea of looking at all the craft, both breweries in the area, also cheese makers, whiskey makers, and a lot of those local crafts. So we started out a program to focus on that, and I can say the Hudson Valley Hops has legs and has continued on, and this is the fifth annual year, and we're very excited about this year's event and working with Bill Newman. I've known Bill Newman for many, many years and used to drink the Newman's Ale a long while ago, so you know, it's a great combination of things.
This is this exhibition once again tells this history of brewing in Albany, and I want to go to Bill in a second, but this is, it's a fascinating story, and it's very much a part of the city's history.
It is certainly. I mean, everybody talks about the fact when the Dutch arrived, they were brewing beer, and people drank beer, a very light beer, I would say, rather than drinking some of the water that was here at the time. But going back to the mission of the Albany Institute, we have a lot of materials related to brewing in our collection, ranging from the photographs you mentioned, original artwork, and a lot of bottles, sort of interesting collection of bottles,
yeah,
and signs as well. I think one of the more interesting collections that we discovered around 5 years ago was a manuscript collection with brewmaster's recipes, and that really started the basis for some production of Albany ale. So that part is very exciting. So we have 100,000 documents in the museum's library collection, and it's just chock-a-block full with all sorts of interesting aspects of Albany's history.
Bill, as being a brewer and going back to the beginning of this craft brewery movement, how important do you think it is for us to know that history and be and understand what came before beer speaking?
Well, Tamas was talking about water. Of course, water is one of the primary ingredients that goes into beer, and Albany has a very long brewing history. It goes back 300 years, and the only gap, really, was when the Schaefer Brewery closed down back in 1971. And I started up, I went to England to study with Peter Austin to make English-style traditional real ales. And I started up in 1981. So there's just a 10-year gap. Tamas and I both live in Center Square in downtown Albany. We live about two blocks away. We've known each other for about, I don't know, 25 years or so. And there was a whole bunch of breweries in Center Square. There was the Chestnut Street Brewery. Dobler Brewery was not too far away. There's one over in Lincoln Park. Back in the 1870s, Albany, the city of Albany, within city limits, had 18 small neighborhood breweries. So it's a great tradition that we're continuing.
And when you say small, is it similar to what we're seeing now with the various breweries that are opening?
Yes, yeah. I mean, very small. I mean, when I was brewing back in the early 80s locally, I would have older people come in and they would say, when I was a kid, I used to have the pail of that I would take down to the local brewery. And my dad used to put lard around the top on the inside so we'd get a full measure. There wouldn't be any head on the beer, just a full bucket of beer. So, yeah, very much. It's like it's history repeating itself.
And that idea of history repeating itself, there are those who, I've heard this said about television, that we are in another golden age of television. And I've also heard it that we're in another golden age of brewing and beer. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I started up in 1981, my brewery license nationally was number 41. And working with Tamas and putting together this best pale ales of the Hudson River Valley, and I'm kind of putting my beer in just kind of, you know, back in the day, you know, my beer was very unique as a craft beer. But now there are actually 43 small breweries from Yonkers up to Lake George.
43. One of those is R.S. Taylor and Sons. They are in Hebron in Washington County, New York. They're very close to Bedlam, and between Bedlam and Salem, I would note. I was there for the first time just a few weeks ago. It's a lovely establishment. They've done a beautiful, beautiful job. You have their coffee porter, so why don't we try that, and then talk a little bit about how places like R.S. Taylor have, because they go back to that English style as well, correct?
Yes. Richard Taylor's goal was to have a English style rural pub, which he has done beautifully. And just so your listeners know, it's about 22 miles east of Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
And you stop 7 miles before you get to Vermont border.
Yes.
It's 50 acres. It's pastoral. You drive over a wooden bridge over a babbling brook. And Richard and his wife, Kelly, have built this incredible little brewery, and there is a car park. It's just like being in England, and the beers are superb British style, kind of like what I did back in my day.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, let me, since it's coffee break time here at the station, should we pour a little coffee stout?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And while you do that, let me talk to Tamas about it. Sounds great. Bill, you're so good at this.
I'm an old pro.
I know you're an old pro. So I assume, Tamas, that the reason you do this is the fifth time you've done this is because this goes well.
Yes.
People like this.
People like this. And, you know, there are a lot of brewing tastings and that type of thing.
Yes.
But I think what separates ours from many of the other ones, it's smaller.
Yes,
it's intimate. We do have an exhibition associated with it. And then we always have programs. We have lectures. Bill, for example, spoke last year and reminisced about the beginnings of the brewery, and also Dan Stamoris dance. We've had Kathy Quinn.
You're dancing?
Yes.
I've danced the Poke Brook local Morse team for 28 years.
Okay, so. Cool. That's good.
And another brewery in Albany was the Quinn and Nolan Brewery. And that was, and we have a lot of materials related to that. And we had Kathy Quinn, who is a descendant of the breweries, come and speak. So we've had talks on the Egyptian beers, and we've had an opportunity to taste that. So there's always an educational component at the Albany Institute as part of our program, and great food. This year, Rick Orlando from New World Catering is going to be doing the food for us, so that will be sort of an added with all of these wonderful tastes of the craft beers. We'll also have enjoy good food.
Top notch of everything there.
Yes, yes.
That's very nice. am I correct that this is the, this is amazing, by the way. This is really great,
excellent
really great
Excellent coffee.
Beer.
Is this like the best coffee break you've ever had?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I love this coffee stout.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Who knew you were bringing one of my favorites?
It's very, very good. So 225 years of the Albany Institute of History and Art. That is very cool.
It is. We were founded.
How do you celebrate that?
Yeah. Well, you celebrate all year long. But beginning with the idea that we were founded in 1791. We are the oldest museum in New York State, the second oldest museum in the country. We're able to say we're older than the Louvre, older than the Smithsonian, and George Washington was president when we opened our doors.
Wow.
So it's a pretty exciting.
And that's been continuous.
It has been continuous. That's not to say we haven't changed. We've changed our name 7 times. We've changed our location in Albany 7 times, although we did start out in New York City. But the museum, by the way, the earliest name is the Society for the Promotion of Agriculture, Arts, and Manufacturing, which is SPAM, which has a very different meaning today than than it did when they came up with the name. But, you know, the museum was...
even 20 years ago, we just thought it was crummy lunch meat. Yeah.
Right. So the museum was modeled after the Royal Society in London. The Royal Society in London was very interested in science and philosophy. The Albany Institute, the roots of the Albany Institute, it was associated with the New York State Legislature, and New York State was interested in agriculture and the industrial arts. So that's really the roots of the Albany Institute. We would, our first president gave papers, and we have the handwritten papers in our collection by Robert Livingston. He talked about and had a drawing of the Merino sheep and the best way to raise Merino sheep. Simeon DeWitt, who was the Surveyor General of New York State, in our collection have a drawing and a paper that he prepared on a better butter churner. So the point of all of this is we had really strong agricultural roots and industrial roots here in the Albany area. And people gathered together to listen to talks and papers. And that was really the way the museum developed. But then in 1886, there was a big bicentennial of the city of Albany. And they put together an exhibition down at the Old Academy, which is an academy park, of 4,000 objects, a catalog. 25,000 people went to that exhibition in a 3-week period. And it was really that event that the Albany Institute, the strongest of the institutions, joined with an art gallery and a historical society and became the Albany Institute of History and Art.
And now just one of the centerpieces of the city and right there on the corner of Dove and
Washington Avenue, yes. We built that building in 1907. And we all had walked in, the board of directors said it was just like the Met, just like the Philadelphia Museum. And there would have been art, decorative arts, and ethnographic materials from all over the world. And that's how we acquired those Egyptian mummies that we have. The famous mummies, the Albany mummies. And then I like to say in 1926, cooler heads prevailed and the board of directors changed the mission. And everything we have in our collection today has some documented relationship to the art, history, and culture of the Upper Hudson Valley. And I can even bring those mummies into it because they're part of the history of the museum.
Absolutely. Though it's beautiful, and congratulations on the 225 years and the year-long celebration. In the few moments that we have left, I just want to remind folks of the 2016 Hudson Valley Hops event, which will take place on Saturday, April 16th at the museum from 4 to 7. And you can go to the museum's website, which is albanyinstitute.org, to find out more information about the event and how you can taste the beer from all of these wonderful places. And just the quick list here, and without hopefully not leaving anyone out, Brewery Omegang, C.H. Evans, Davidson Brothers, Brown's Brewing, Chatham Brewing, C.H., I already mentioned that, Druthers in Saratoga and Albany, Green Wolf Brewing, R.S. Taylor and Sons, S&S Farm Brewery, and Nassau, which tell us a little bit about them. You brought their beer, too.
Yeah, they're very interesting. There are three guys. It's Adam, Jason, and let's see, the other one is, oh, my God, this beer is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I just want to say it's a
There's
real
another brother. We'll find out his name.
Matt.
Okay.
And they're all, like, young. They're, like, you know, kind of wonder if they actually, you know, can legally drink beer. It's a little working farm, and you have to go around the tractor to get into the tasting room, which is the biggest as this booth. And I went there Friday night, and all the farmers are there. And
yeah,
they're sampling, and they're drinking pints, filling growlers, and they're talking about the price of hops, which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
And so they brew wonderful beers. They actually grow their own hops there. And, you know, it's very similar to what was happening in England, what was happening back here in the 1880s. Yeah, and they're good, so we want to include them. One question you might ask me is, why, after 29 years, am I bringing back Newman's Pale Ale?
Why are you, Bill?
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, I'm going to pause you for one second, because I don't want to forget that Millhouse Brewery and Schmaltz in Clifton Park also taking part, so I just want to complete the list. Now, why in the world would you bring this back after 35 years, Bill?
Well, thank you. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of great organizations. The Albany Institute is one of my favorites in Albany. And since they're promoting the history and also promoting the new brewers, this is a chance to see how the Newman's Pale Ale of yore stands up against the new brewers. So it'll be very interesting. We're doing a blind taste test with Rick Orlando, the chef down at the Demetrius down at the City Beer Hall, and owner Sylvia Lilly from the Lark Street Wine. So we're doing all 12 beers, and I'm throwing my beer in the mix. So we'll see how, you know, the Newman's Pale Ale stands up with the new brewing kids on the block.
When you went up to Rick Davidson, you said, "Hey, I want you to make the beer." That was easy.
Yes, he was one of three brewers. I chose them because they have an English-style system. They have open fermenters, and they have the same yeast that I brought to the States back in the day.
That's great.
And the beer's in the tanks. It will be delivered on Saturday, and it's going to be very interesting, the kind of reception that Newman's gets.
Can't wait to see. Can't wait to hear the stories and taste the beer. It all happens Saturday, April 16th from 4 to 7. You can find out more information by going to albanyinstitute.org, albanyinstitute.org. Bill Newman is the founder of the William S. Newman Brewing Company and will very much be a part of the 2016 Hudson Valley Hops event this Saturday. And Tamas Croft is the executive director of the Albany Institute of History and Art in downtown Albany. And again, you can find out more information about this event and about the beautiful museum and their 225th anniversary and all the great events there by going to albanyinstitute.org. Tamas, it's always a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Bill, thank you. And thanks for bringing beer at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Best,
I'd love to
coffee.
Tell you it was the first time, but it's not. But that's okay. It's all good. Thank you very much. Have a great event. And again, you can find out more at albanyinstitute.org. We'll be back after this short break.